There it is.
I thought maybe for as long as you were in Mexico, you forgot about the intro.
I got to tell you, I almost, that's a lie. I really didn't want to come back.
Well, glad you're here, and we're glad you're here. Welcome to Real Estate Makes Us Drink. I'm Brian Quinlan from Daniels Real Estate.
I'm Brad Nickum with Nest Mortgage Group.
Do you find that when you say hello to everybody that you do the same thing? Because I just kind of dawned, like, I point
You
all the
point?
time when I do that. Or I'll give a little peace sign. One of those two is what I do here at the beginning.
I don't know. I guess I don't know.
I think you normally do get a little
Hey,
wave.
Brad Nickum, probably do. It's awkward nervousness.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
If this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad you're here. Hit that subscribe button so that you are notified next time. You know what? We are so close to 100 followers. I'm
Holy
excited.
cow, 100 followers. That's amazing.
I know.
That's because once you get to 100, they say getting to 200 is easy.
Exactly. I'm sure it just it's gonna fly to 200. So Brad, what are you drinking?
Tequila.
Ah,
Yeah.
amazing.
And
Oh, wait a minute. While he gets that set up, I just want to point out the entire wall behind me and on the side is now tequila. When we first started this show, it was tequila mixed with a number of other beverages, and now the number of other beverages have been moved to a shelving unit that and all tequila. That's a successful show you have going on.
It's really rocking. It's a lot of fun. It's there's a lot of great tequila from that show,
Yeah.
and I appreciate it. I wouldn't be doing that show if you wouldn't have told me to do that. So I appreciate it. You've
You're welcome.
gotten me probably 100+ bottles of tequila.
Heck yeah, you're welcome. So, which tequila are you consuming this time?
El Último. Último Agave. This is an old tequila that has come back. This is coming from Dom 1522, Ileana Partida, who was our first stop. I just did an interview at the Ileana. It got posted today on YouTube. Probably one of the sweetest people I've ever met. Four siblings, all of them men. She's the youngest, and she's taken over the family distillery. So she's the CEO, the master distiller, and then also owns her own
Her
brand.
brothers have no interest.
No, they do. She's just better at it than them. So they're all in another level. But just the people were so, it was amazing. Like the nicest people, they're all open. They're so happy that we're there, and it's someplace that everybody should go.
Right. So specifically, Brad was in Arandas, Mexico, and you spent the whole week there.
No, we actually started. Oh, so we landed in Guadalajara. We went to Atamaña, which is where she's at.
Okay.
Then we went on to Tequila. We were in Tequila for 3 days. We visited Atanasio with Renee and his lovely daughter. We actually there's a video of me harvesting a baby agave with the koa in the field. Then Renee cooked us lunch out there in the fields, and then went back and had tequila with Christiana Moratans, the owner of Valar Tequila, who we did the fundraiser for. Spent the day with them and drinking these special experiments that Renee was doing off of the still. He's their master distiller, so we were drinking different points, off the still. The day before that, my wife and I spent the day with Renee and Christiana. They took us around the backside of the big giant volcano,
Oh,
went
cool.
to eat at this amazing hacienda. We went to these pyramids that are from 300 BC. So it was just a sightseeing day. And then the next, so lots of dinner, lots of
Of
food, lots
course.
of tequila.
Well, you had to eat something
We
to
did, yeah.
absorb the tequila you were consuming.
And then on the Wednesday, we went to Nam 1146, where they make Dom Filano and Tears of Iorna and Arte Nam 1146. Cimarron, several great tequilas, and they're not open for tours, so that's a tour that we kind of got a special deal with.
Very nice.
And then set in this cellar downstairs, that's the Don it was the Don Filano like showcase rooms, what it was called, and it was a bar, and we drank 18-year-old Quinta Seca and the 15-year and the 5, and just so many tequilas that you if you can get them, the bottles are $1,000, and then they're hard to find. From there to El Renal, we went to Cascawin. We got to go through Cascawin. Actually got a Generation 2 Destino. See that crazy label up there?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the Destino. It is, it's about their distillery, and it is six different tequilas blended into one, made with all six different ways.
It's like the kamikaze of tequilas.
And then there's three bottles, one with only like 15 people on it, because that's how many people that work there in the first generation. And Manga's Generation 2 serves like 20, and then Generation 3, there's like 100.
Okay.
Same tequila, but... And then from there, we went to Arandas.
Okay.
And then...
And in Arandas, you met up with Sergio?
The famous Sergio Cruz and Alex LaCroix.
Hola, Sergio. Hola, Alex.
And they taught me a lot about tequila.
The question... And there are probably several, but let's start with, does Alex remember talking to me on the phone when you FaceTimed me from Arandas?
I'm not sure. I told my buddy the Tequila Cop. I don't know if you've ever watched any of his stuff, Mike.
Okay.
He's a social media guy.
Sure.
Okay, and he's a cop. And I asked him, I said, next time I go down there, can I borrow your body camera?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We're going to call it the Tequila Cam. The commercial is going to go something like, last night, did tequila steal your memories? Not anymore. Wear Tequila Cam.
Ah, I like your Tequila Cam voice. That's impressive.
Do a commercial.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, Sergio started us off with a normal tasting and just ended up into pulling down plastic bottles. There's one up there in the corner by that Lost Lore bottle.
Yep.
That just has some handwriting on it and a number 10. And there was 1 through 10, and then he asked us to taste each one and rate them how we liked them and what profiles that we got off of those. They're all 55% ABV, sort of. And then from there, Murto and Viva Mexico and Lost Lore and all these tequilas just came out.
And according to the story that you've said, you're not even sure you ate dinner.
True, this.
And knowing you like I do, dinner was likely your first meal of the day, so there's a chance you had no food that day, but you had plenty of tequila.
I did eat breakfast on purpose.
Okay.
And the funny thing was, is
Tony, it was a lot of funny.
Tony left around 4:30 because she had a Spanish class. So she was going to go to the Spanish class and then come back. But she did all that tasting with us, too, when she left, took the cab back. But
she had a break.
She did, but it wasn't enough because she didn't come back. And at some point, I called her and said, the food is amazing, and I can't believe all the food. You got to come back. And the next morning, I literally looked at her and said, we were at a restaurant, and I really don't remember there being any food. So,
and the post story to that, you said you left 10:30 or 11.
No, I left at 8:30.
Oh.
They left at like 2.
Yes, that's where I was going to go. They were there till 2 in the morning.
They even went to another place that the antics, you know, the shenanigans just really got going. So,
So you FaceTimed me from this restaurant.
Don't recall.
And brought your boy Alex into the shot. And that was entertaining. I felt like I was shouting so that I could be heard. I don't know how it sounded on your end. And well, neither do you.
I don't know.
And then when Brad called me like 2 days later, I said, do you remember FaceTiming me? I did.
No way. What'd I do?
Very entertaining. So that's totally cool.
And saying that, Alex, I guess, we're going to have to tag Alex in this video.
Okay.
So he knows. But from what you told me, Alex said that he would run the marathon with us as well.
He did. Or at least he was thinking about it. I don't know that he gave the full commitment to it, but it sounded like he was on board. Maybe he'll just, you know, if he's not going to run, he could just do a little sponsorship for it.
You know what would be awesome is if he handed out tequila at all the water.
Why not?
A sponsorship would be great. That's why I bring it up. You know, the goal here is to raise $1,000. It's going to go to a food pantry in
the Perry Township food pantry, not in Greenwood, Indianapolis, Texas. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's the food pantry that's run out of Perry Township schools that my wife is in charge of, and they do a great job every Tuesday for 3 hours giving food to those who need it, which is great.
And the goal is to raise $1,000.
That is the goal.
And we're at, like, did you say like 500?
We're not quite 500 yet. And, you know, the signups are next month. So that's actually the key here. is hopefully we're going to get that money in time to actually make a sign up.
Okay.
The goal was $1,000, which you have added on to and said that you would match that to make it a $2,000 donation, which is super generous of you. Thank you.
Well, it's going to a good cause. And
of course, you know, we got to get
the, you do something hard.
We got to get the original $1,000 to get that match. So I would request, if you're watching, you know, anything you might be able to donate is going to go to a good cause, $5, $10, $20. Those who have already donated, thank you. It's certainly much appreciated. And, you know, let's add on to it.
Anybody that wants to just finish it off, though, I would have a couple of running T-shirts made with their logo on the shirt, right?
I would absolutely
so maybe
wear that.
It's a Siempre shirt, or maybe Arturo from Lost Lore.
Or maybe Sun King.
Maybe Sun King. Maybe Ileana Partida. Maybe Drink Balloon.
Suddenly we're NASCAR.
Yeah.
Thanking our sponsors. So that would be fantastic. I'll wear the hell out of some logos.
I'd wear on the show too, you know. So
if we get 26 different sponsors, we'll have 26 shirts. Just rip one off at each mile. Oh, that'd be great.
Fantastic. I also brought something back from NAMM 1414.
Oh, it looks like, I don't know if I want to describe this as looks like bugs or just bark from a tree.
Smell that. What's that smell like?
It smells like just like straight sugar. Well, there's a similarity there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Not exactly the same, but definitely.
We always say you can smell the cooked agave.
Oh.
Tequila.
Okay.
So this is a Highlands agave brought to NAMM 1414 and cooked in their amazing stone ovens.
Huh.
And it is, it's just delicious.
So when you say it's cooked agave, can you like give a description of like, how do you cook this?
Okay. So this big agave plant has all of the leaves chopped off of it. Those are called pincas. And when they get done, it looks like a pineapple.
Okay.
So they call it a piña.
All right.
So then that is trucked from the field back to the distillery, where these guys take these big, like, round-looking hatchets, and then they just chop them in half.
Okay.
Because they're this bigger.
Oh, yeah.
They cut that in half, and then in the top of it, like if I'm going to point, you can't see it on TV, of course, but Brian, if you look over there and you see the agave that has coming right out of the top.
Yes.
So that one leaves a piece in the piña called a cogolla, and it is incredibly bitter.
Mm.
So as they cut that in half, they chop that cogolla out of there so that those leaves come out.
Okay.
And sometimes they cut them in quarters because they're so big, and they put them on a conveyor, and they go up and... guys are standing inside this big 20-ton steam oven.
Sounds hot.
They stack them inside. They don't turn it on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how does it get to this?
So that's steam for probably 30 hours.
Oh.
And they open those doors up and cool. Mm-hmm. So the cooling time is probably part of that 30 hours for these guys. And it just sits in there and cools. And then once it's cooled, then it's ran through a little shredder and into the roller mill, you know, to push the juices out. And you had some earlier.
Yep.
And you acted as a roller mill and pushed
out
the juices. And what did you like the taste of
it? I did. I really, honestly, I just keep saying it. I feel like I was just eating straight sugar.
And it's hard to explain what that feels.
It is. Yeah. But you can't consume it. You can't swallow it. The skin of it, you can't bite through at all.
Right. So this is part of the pinca, the leaf, and it has a lot of juice in it. The heart itself, which all is the middle of the pina, you can chew that and swallow
it. Okay.
Real soft and real easy to eat.
But that's not this.
That's not this. No, the heart is deep inside. So this, we just pulled these off because you can chew them and get a lot of the juice out of them.
So this was cooked in Mexico.
Cooked in the 1414s oven.
And when you bring this home, do you continue? Like, do you throw it in the microwave to warm it up?
I did.
Care?
Because what I did was I had them, they wrapped it really tight with cellophane and then brought it home and I threw it in the freezer.
Okay. So, yeah, definitely in the microwave.
And then I got a big piece. Mm. I was trying to figure out, how do I get you a little piece of this to taste tonight? So I got a hacksaw. It was like cutting up a dead body.
Well, awfully kind of you. Thank you. So I will say, if you ever have the opportunity to eat or try some cooked agave, do it.
It's so good.
It is really good. And that's not the alcohol part in any way, shape, or form. So anybody can consume that. It's really good. By the way, speaking of consuming things, what am I drinking? Because for those of you who follow the show, I'm normally drinking a beer, and this is not a beer.
I made you a phenomenal margarita. Would you agree with that statement?
Ordinarily, I would say no thanks to margaritas. And Brad insisted that he wanted to make me a margarita that he knew I was going to like. Oftentimes, when I drink a margarita, one of the first things I will say is, tastes like tequila, because that's sort of my go-to answer, and that's normally what everything tastes like to me. But this has a hint of tequila taste to it, maybe because of the type of tequila that you use, but either way, this is quite refreshing.
Great tequila, right? So this is a Valle Agave. This is a low-pressure autoclave. Ileana puts so much care into the fermentation and distilling of her product. It's real approachable. It's easy to drink. Has a great cooked agave flavor. And we talk about additive-free all the time.
Yep.
This is a very clean, additive-free tequila. And the margarita that I made for you is made with lime juice, agave nectar, and orange juice.
Okay.
No chemicals that I can't explain. So if you're going to drink clean, drink clean.
I guess so.
Yeah, and that's...
Well, I will say I enjoy that, so thanks.
No worries.
Gracias.
Gracias, de nada. De nada, amigo.
Oh, Spanish is spectacular.
Dude, I'll tell you, when you spend, I would like to say an hour with Sergio Cruz, but it was like 14, and he speaks no Spanish.
Or no English.
No English. But he's got such a bright soul. You knew what he was talking about. And after a week of going to, I mean, we went to multiple distilleries. I think this somewhere around 13. The people that spoke Spanish, you actually knew what they were talking about. It's, I think if I lived there for a month and just had to learn, had to
Yeah.
myself in it would be so easy. But
well,
come home, it's hard.
For those of you watching this far, number one, thanks. And again, feel free to hit that subscribe button. If you have not seen Brad's Tasting Tequila with Brad shows, and that is YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, I highly recommend that you go and follow him there because he has some really good stuff. Number one, always talking and teaching about tequila. He's interviewing these brand people, the owners, the creators, the distillers, all of the above, and telling their story, which is all unique in many ways. But recently he shared a lot of things on his trip to Mexico, and it's some interesting stuff, and definitely, you know, the opportunity to learn about other cultures and how this spirit is made. I think that's really cool. So go check it out.
Well, thank you, Brian. Yeah. On that show, I actually talk less.
That's okay.
Yeah. I let the if I have to talk on this one. So that one, I try to talk a whole lot less. So
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
So what do you got going on? I mean, I've been gone. Just so you know, we do this every other week. Usually,
right?
We do a couple of shows, but I think it's been like 3 weeks since we've done a show.
It has. It seems like I haven't seen you in forever.
I know that when you pulled in the driveway, you know, that older car that you had, you know, I could hear you coming down the road a couple of blocks away.
Not quite that bad.
Sound like a NASCAR rolling it. I knew. But this time you kind of sleeked in here like Batman. What's
I did. Upgraded the Quinlan family vehicle to a Tesla. Got a 2022 Model Y Tesla, so the SUV version.
It's pretty awesome.
You know, it's really cool. And one of the things that I noticed today coming here as I drive here during rush hour time is over in the, on 465 near Emerson, between Emerson and 65, gets really congested this time of evening. And so I find like when there is a semi truck that wants to come over into my lane, well, you know, obviously you let that happen. But when the gap opens, my car will take off and, you know, just hit the gap as necessary. Like, I don't have the
you mean you
full self driving
to get there.
But,
okay.
Like, I never really thought much or that I would care about a car that could go from 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds.
It's pretty awesome.
But you know what? Right there, I do.
Yeah.
And it's super cool to just blow by everybody and you know, not have to really worry about it.
I don't have a Tesla, but my car will get into those holes very quickly. And people say, what do you need that power for? And then you do that. And
yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. It makes a difference. So yeah, I like that. And I'm still kind of getting used to it.
Seen you had like a light show going on in the garage.
That's funny. So one of the things that I posted, and if you don't follow me on Instagram, you go check it out on The Realtor Indy is my Instagram handle. And there is a light show, and there are five different varieties, and you can actually make your own. But a light show that you can do with your car. And so we tested it out. You can't be in the vehicle when it happens. So we did this in my garage, turned it on, and it went for like a minute and a half of lights and music coming from inside the car. And then the windows start going up and down on their own. The mirrors start popping in and out. The trunk slowly goes up and
down. Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't do it with every song. It depends on the song. And I was like, this is fascinating. And so I put that on Instagram, and my mom contacted me. She's like, what is the point of that? I said, because they can.
Yeah, why not?
Why does Elon Musk insist that the Cybertruck be bulletproof? Because they can.
Because they can.
So, you know, it's just a unique, stupid feature that is unique and stupid and fun.
What horn do you use?
I have the regular horn, but there's a feature that when you exit the car and get a certain number of feet away, the car will automatically lock and you can choose what sound it makes. So I have a clown horn sound that plays when I walk away. So that's stupid.
I've heard a fart on it.
It is. Yeah, fart. It is an option. I haven't chosen that, but it is an option.
You know, the horn wouldn't be helpful, though, if you chose silent fart.
It's true. The SBD, you don't choose that one. There is a feature on it that when the guy showed it to me, he says, if you choose this, you don't want to be in the car when it happens. I believe it's actually called biohazard. And the idea behind it is to heat up your car really, really fast. And so I kind of liken it to if you were ever in your house when anybody comes in and heats up your house. Like we had bed bugs one time years ago, and they overheat your house like to 120 to whatever degrees. And so he's like, yeah, you don't want to be in the car because it will like melt you. And obviously exaggerating, but he said, yeah, it heats up really fast and don't do that.
That's pretty awesome.
Like, yeah, I know. I was like, okay. But it's not like a hidden button either. It's right there.
Right there.
I know. I'm like,
does it have a biohazard button?
It does.
It's pretty awesome.
Got the little circles or triangles or whatever it is. So yeah, it's funny.
You're pretty happy with it?
I'm very happy with it. And I'm going to throw this out there as I'm wearing my University of Cincinnati sweatshirt today, because on Valentine's Day, Will the Thrill turns 21. And so in honor of my youngest hitting the ripe old age of 21, I'm wearing the Cincinnati, and because he did go to school there, currently living in Cincinnati, and we are going to hop in the Tesla and drive out there to greet him for his birthday and bring him a box of beverages.
So we need to get him over here learning tequila.
I'm not sure he'd be opposed to it. So
yeah.
We shall.
So that's weird. So he was conceived on Valentine's Day.
No, he was birthed on Valentine's Day. He was conceived 10 months prior to that, I guess. So whatever that would be, that's like April.
Prom.
I did not have my children that young, Brad.
I did.
Well, I was almost 30 when Will.
Best decision we ever made was decisions we never made.
There you go. Actually, I was 31 when Will was born.
So yeah. Or what we probably should
talk shop.
Sprinkle some real estate on this show. What do you think?
All right. Well, I don't know if this will be quick, but in my world, things are very slow. And I'm not unique to that, but it doesn't mean that there aren't people who are doing really good business right now. So
if you had to talk as slow as your business is, how slow would that be?
Well, there would be a lot of silence.
That's a bummer. So people need to start calling Brian and finding out why they need to buy a house now.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I've certainly made enough videos kind of encouraging people to take that leap. But, you know, one of the things that you're finding along with me, because I send clients to you whenever they come about, is people who want information, but then want to hesitate for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. You know, we have mutual clients who like the idea of buying a house, but aren't sure that now's the time for them simply because they may be moving somewhere else, aren't sure how long they're going to be around. I've got other people who you know, for financial reasons, might be holding on and waiting. Not that they don't want to buy a house, just right now they can't. There are others. I have actually another mutual client that we have who will eventually sell his house. Well, they want to wait until closer, but not the end, but closer to the end of the school year, because they want to transition their child into a new school district for next school year, but they don't want to pull him out of the school district that he's in now. And so it's business that probably is going to come soon, but it's, you know, we're just not at that point yet. And that's not unusual for this time of year, to be quite honest. But I, you know, feel that a lot of people have gotten used to the interest rates at or near 7%. I think that that's just become normal to this point. So I can't really use the excuse of interest rates scaring people away anymore.
Nope.
But beyond that, I honestly, I'm not sure. I, you know, affordability keeps being thrown about, and that's maybe the headline that I hear most often on, you know, regular news, right?
Yeah.
You know, housing affordability is hard. And yeah, that it's not wrong, but it's not going to get better.
Right. Hopefully don't go back.
Oh,
I do think things are going to get better. Housing prices aren't going to come down, but I think we're going to see the economy stir a little bit. But, you know, prices don't go backwards, except for maybe eggs will when this bird flu thing is taken care of. But prices don't go backwards, but we need to see incomes need to rise. We need to see business continue to grow. And I'm more optimistic going into 25 than I've been in a long time. And I'm also 1.3 million ahead of last year this year.
Very nice.
So I'm kind of shocked. But the locked-in effect is starting to go away.
Yep.
And the locked-in effect is somebody that has a 2% or 3% rate that doesn't want to move. Those people that I have in my database that are finally buying are to the point where, look, we've outgrown the house or we don't want to live here anymore. And rates probably aren't going to come down, but home prices are going to continue to go up. And I've got a couple clients right now that I'm working with that bought their house 3 years ago that have $100,000 in equity.
That's amazing.
It's grown $100,000 in 3 or 4 years. So they can use that and really upside what they're going to buy. And their payment still goes up, but it doesn't go up drastically, and it puts them in a much better situation. So I think the locked-in effect is starting to ease up. And I do think there's an optimism among buyers that we didn't have, say, 10 months ago, where they weren't sure what the economy was going to do. Now they're all kind of like, look, there's enough stuff happening so fast that let's just buy a house, or I feel better about where things are. So I think this is going to be a great year. I truly do. I think you're going to have a great year. I think we're going to have a great year. And I
will say, as slow as I have been, success has been good. Like, I've closed two houses, which doesn't sound like a lot in a month and a half of the year, but the pricing on those houses, speaking selfishly, has been really good for me. And so that's great for business anyways. And I do have another closing that'll happen in early March, and other business that's come about. Actually, just last night, one of my neighbors said that they want me to help them sell their house. So that's awesome. And so, you know, it's very cyclical in this business. And I think that, you know, again, I'm with you on the optimism part, that I think it's going to be great, and it's just going to take a little time, and that's okay.
You know, we complain about inflation of housing, but if you look at how banking works, and I would suggest and not suggest reading The Creature on Jekyll Island.
Okay.
It is a book that explains how the Federal Reserve started. It explains very clearly that the Federal Reserve has absolutely nothing to do with the United States government, and it's really just a central bank. Which they didn't want to call it a central bank, so they called it the federal.
Okay.
They called it the federal bank. Well, no, that sounds like a central bank. Well, why don't we call it the Federal Reserve? It'll sound like we have something that we're holding the reserves, but they don't. It's completely a fiat money structure.
I don't know what that means.
That is. Nope. Read the book.
Okay.
Fiat money is literally money that's worth nothing.
Oh.
And when you think about banking work.
Crypto?
No, crypto's actually worth something compared to our
money.
Okay. So here's how money is created. You put $1,000 in the bank, right? And the bank puts that in a checking account or a savings account, and you are a $1,000 liability because they owe you that money.
Okay.
But they take that $1,000 and they lend out $9,000. And that $9,000 is an asset. And they created $9,000 out of your $1,000. So let's play that real math. You put $100,000 in the bank, and they just lent out almost $1 million. So
right.
The money that is being lent out and collected, that if the banks had everybody come and say, I want to take all my money out of the bank, that's called a run on the bank, and the bank then would collapse, right? So we created the Federal Reserve so that the top banks could control the money for all the little banks, and it removed all the banking competition. And now if that bank fails, the FDIC, which is funded by the Federal Reserve, now bails out those banks. But does the Federal Reserve bail those banks out? No. The Federal Reserve then prints money. And as they print money, we're all taxed through an invisible tax that's called inflation.
Nice.
Because instead of now having that $1,000 turn into $9,000, they're going to take zero money and create enough money to pay everybody back.
Mm.
And now they've devalued the dollar.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then if you go back to the 1930s and back to 1913 when the Federal Reserve started, and you look at what's happened to the value of the dollar and then the removal of the actual...
By the way, you're making me drink here.
Balanced against gold or silver, right? We're the gold standard, and most of our coins were coined out of a certain amount of silver that gave them a value. And at the end of the book, you realize this is the darkest book I've ever seen.
Well, this sounds like our
end of the world. But the thing of it is it's true. And when you get into reading in this book about how so many of the wars that have happened through the years have been funded by the Rothschilds, where they funded England and they funded France, right? And they funded so much in World War One that the only way that they knew they weren't going to lose their money from Germany potentially winning in World War One is to get America involved. So oddly enough, a giant ship got blown up and a bunch of Americans died, and we joined the war and we won, and the Rothschilds won because they had more money lent on our side than their side.
Oh my.
And when you see how that book explains it, it just blows your mind. And I live in this business of where I'm lending out this money, which has helped driving up the cost of homes, and we reap a reward because the homes are so much more money today.
And that book is called what?
The Creature from Jekyll Island.
What's the reference to Jekyll Island?
Jekyll Island is an island that was owned, it's either in Georgia or North Carolina. It's down there.
Okay.
And it was owned by the Rockefellers.
Okay.
It was a very secret island, and they used one of the senators of Massachusetts, who was the in-law to the Rockefellers.
Okay.
They used his train car to load on like 13 of the wealthiest people in the world, the bankers from England and Europe, and the biggest banks, you know, Mr. Morgan, right, of J.P. Morgan. All of the big banks in America at the time loaded onto this train car independently, so the press didn't see who was getting on it.
Hmm.
It wasn't connected to the train until the train left the station, literally backed up and hooked up to it at night and then pulled away. And then they went to this island where, you know, nobody knew they were there, and they came up with the idea of the Federal Reserve, which took a couple of years to get passed. And the book is not hearsay. It's people that were there that were then done dirty after it was done, and they came clean and told everybody what happened. And it's absolutely amazing. It's like that thick, but it'll teach you how our banking system works and the difference between gold standard money or money that was coinage that was worth something and fiat money that's absolutely worth nothing.
Well, okay.
I don't know how the hell we got there from a
guy. I don't either. Speaking of the Federal Reserve, though, while you were gone, the Fed had their first meeting of the year.
And they had another one Wednesday.
And what, if anything, came out of that?
Nothing.
Okay.
Same thing we thought they'd do. And then yesterday we had a CPI report, which is your consumer price index. That's the inflation report that we want to see come down. It's up. Instead of 0.2, it went up 0.5.
Mm.
And year over year inflation's at 0.3. I'm sorry, at 3%, which is the highest it's been for a while.
Mm.
And we had a little retraction in the market. Along with the retraction we had in the market right before I left, which was when DeepSeek came out, and I kind of blasted the market as well. So there's a lot of things going on, but it's going to get better.
Okay. I like better. Better is good. All right, well, that ought to do it, Brad. A, thank you for the margarita.
B,
thanks to Ultimo for tasty tequila. And glad you made it home from Mexico safely. Thanks to you for watching the show. Hit subscribe.
No, thank you for the cooked agave.
I did enjoy the cooked agave.
Cooked agave is amazing. Now when you hear us say, I can smell the cooked agave in there, you know actually what we're talking about.
I guess so. Thanks for watching. Hit that subscribe button, share this show, and drop us a comment. And please, once again, help out with donations to the food pantry, and I will run that marathon in Disney World in January.
And I may borrow Tequila Cop's cam to run and maybe live stream the entire run so you can watch Brian struggle through it.
It's going to be great.
You know, there's a really famous reel of a female Olympic marathoner, and she's running towards the finish line, and she looks up at the camera guy, and she says to him, "Hey, don't film my ass. I shit myself."
Have you seen it? No. That's hilarious, though.
So now when you see the signs around mile 6 that say, "Don't trust a fart after mile 10, that's what they're talking about.
Well, on that note,
cheers.
Time our real estate makes us drink. Cheers.